Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Maybe if you tuned in to part one, and if you haven't, go back and listen to part one first, because you don't want to miss even one iota of the things that our guest today, Jeannie Ouellette, is sharing with us. Jeannie Ouellette has a ministry called Limitless, which is a special ministry that not only ministers to children with special needs, but also to the parents of children with special needs, which is so important. Joining me as a co-host today is Mary Perro. She'll be joining us somewhat sporadically and yet somewhat not sporadically.
A regular sporadic, if you will.
A regular. I like that. Sporadic. But Robin Jones Gunn and myself are over the top to be joined with Mary. We just knew she had the right personality, and both of us with our schedules were not able to be as consistent, and yet we want Women Worth Knowing to be something consistent in your life so that you can be inspired by these testimonies and these stories of ordinary women with an extraordinary God and how he moves through them. And Jeannie is no exception.
That's right.
So Jeannie, the first half you told us about, you know, how you got saved, how you first got kind of brought into this ministry, and how where others were afraid of it or even disdaining it, you were drawn in. And I love this, how you met your husband and how the Lord worked in him, and how your third child, this daughter with special needs. So you talked about those signs, one being denial. The second one was seeking help. I can't remember the third. Could you refresh my memory?
Sure. So the first was denial, and that's sort of, it's kind of a grieving thing that you go through when you have your child and you're like, okay, someone tells you that your child, you know, has special needs, or your child has something, you know, that's not like other children. And it's just, you know, it's a grieving period. So it's kind of a denial. I know my child's going to get better, and I can help them through this. And then when you realize that you need help, on the outside help, you will seek help. And I literally ran from doctor to doctor. And then I just remember the Lord saying, don't do that anymore. You don't need to be running. And then it kind of, the third part is where you sort of say, okay, this is what I have. You're kind of, it's an accepting period. You just said, this is what I have. I need to be able to accept this. And for me, I knew that, you know, just because I saw what the Lord was doing, I knew that was part of his plan. I need to accept this, and I really didn't want the enemy to take hold of this and just really start destroying things like my marriage and just, you know, different, you know.
And that's a possibility.
That's a huge one.
Something you've seen too?
I see so many, I mean, the children in the class that we serve at Calvary here, the class Limitless, I see so many families that have been torn apart and that, you know, that just, fathers walk away, even mothers walk away, and it's just very difficult. You have to understand, you not only are you in like a sort of turmoil, but you have other children to deal with too. You have, you know, your regular children, and they're kind of the left behind, the regular children. So-called normal, and I think it's, I just knew, I saw that in those families, and that just saddened me. It just made me sad. And that's sort of the reason why I ended up homeschooling my daughter. She was going to a public school till she was in first grade, and she was just falling through the cracks so terribly. I would go there and I would advocate at the school. And I remember one moment when I was with a board, all these teachers sitting at a table, and here, even the superintendent, and a lady that supposedly pulled children from a class that needed to be able to learn how to read and different things. And just the moment where she said, your daughter is holding us back. And I said, okay, but isn't that your job? And it just kind of, I had teachers apologize to me for that one. And then I just thought, wow, you know, this is so sad to me, because this is what these parents are up against. And I'd have parents come and tell me stories. I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one. And so I decided to homeschool her. And I just said, I'm going to do this. And I had no clue on how to homeschool. My other two were not homeschooled. And I just remember going through, coming to the homeschool, Calvary Homeschool, and it was just really early on, and there was a meeting with parents, just all these parents. So you have to remember, there's all different walks of life here. And there was a speaker up there, and she was saying, you know, we just want you to ask questions. Anything you want to ask, we're going to answer anything you want to ask. And I raised my hand and I said, okay, well, I have a daughter with special needs. And it was like I looked around and it was like a pin could have dropped in that room. It was like people's faces were like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And the speaker kind of just went on to another question. She didn't even address my question. So I remember leaving and saying, I got in my car and I said, Lord, you know, if you give me a chance, I never want another parent to feel like this. I never want to have anyone ever feel like they're not part of something.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. So a year later, the leaders of the homeschool, the ladies that do the homeschool, they said, would you be willing to lead and be a leader in, you know, a department, the Struggling Learners Special Needs Department? I said, okay.
Here I am. Yeah. Send me.
That's what I said. I said, okay, God, you heard that, what I said. What I said, and so I did that for 20 years. And
wow.
I loved every minute of it. I had calls from all over, you know, parents asking all kinds of questions about, how do I homeschool a child, you know, that I'm, you know, that can't count? How do I homeschool a child that can't read, that can't talk? And so I really try to equip them with that and help them, but most of all, encourage them, saying, I know you can do this. Because they'd say, I can't do this. I'm just going to quit. And I said, no, you can do this. And
now, how are you being equipped for this? I mean, is it just the spirit, or were you discovering?
To be honest with you, I knew I had to have more. So I don't know if viewers, I'm sure that some of viewers that are listening are familiar with Johnny Erickson Tada.
Oh, right.
So Johnny, yes. Just a really brief story about Johnny. She, at 17, dove into a pool, broke her neck, and she's, you know, paralyzed from the neck down. She was always a mentor to me, even when I didn't have a special needs daughter. So I actually trained with them. I actually called
them and
equip me in that field. And anything I could do, I just wanted to know everything.
But so, when was that?
So I'm trying to think. It was probably 19 years ago. Yeah.
It was before your daughter was born?
No, actually, it was when my daughter was born.
Okay, when your daughter was born.
And then I was in the homeschool.
For a year, yeah.
Yeah, and so I just said,
That's right.
I wanted to sound like I knew what I was talking about. I knew what I was talking about. I didn't want to, like, have people ask me questions and then go, what are you talking about? I wanted to be, like, educated. And so I walked in, 20 years in that program. And one of the crowning moments for me, one of the just the beautiful moments, is when my daughter got her high school diploma. I told people, I said, here, I want you to know that it's possible. You know, your child, they're all worth something. They're all worthy. And I wanted the homeschool to really embrace these kids too.
Yes.
So I was having them be part of the clubs and things like that. So and they're wonderful. I have to say the homeschool is wonderful here. They do a great job. And then when my daughter graduated, I'm like, okay, now what? You know, this is like, okay, where do you go? And I know a lot of people ask that question, especially with older children. They just go, what do I do? So I just really wanted her to get involved and try to make sure that we always had people around her. And there is a story that I didn't tell you. So my daughter didn't talk up until the age of 16. She had something called selective mutism, which is a social disorder. And this is the funny story is, I went to Chalk to have some testing when she was young, and they didn't have a clue. And I said, wait a minute, I think this sounds like selective mutism. And the doctor said, okay, I think you might be right. So I diagnosed my own child. And so she did talk to the age of 16. And then one day I had a therapist come in and she wasn't talking to her. And then slowly it started to unfold and she started talking. I'm like, okay, she's talking and she's smart. And, just sort of her brain is just, functioning a little more different than our brain. So that kind of really gave me a lot of hope when she started
talking. Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the things that really strikes me about your story is There were so many moments when you ran into
roadblocks,
challenge,
yep,
difficulty, something that was like, I do not know what to do. And I think our natural instinct, I was a foster parent of children with special needs for a long time. Our natural instinct as parents, when we see there's a problem with our child, is to be like, someone fix it. Mm-hmm. Who is going to fix this? Who is going to? And of course, our children aren't things to be fixed. Right. They're people to be loved. But that's a natural instinct to want to go get the help. And yet, in your story, you were kind of looking here and there. And I'm sure you did get some help from the medical, the medical
actually,
side of things.
Really great
not
help. Not,
not
great
the
help.
Kind of help you wanted.
Yeah,
but how the Lord said, actually, I'm going to give you what you need to be the parent that your child needs. And I just think that's such a beautiful thing about you and your ministry, and also maybe an encouragement that our listeners need to hear, that God is, even in our challenges, leading and directing and preparing, and what looks like with our eyes roadblocks or problems or dilemmas is often just the Lord saying, I'm just setting things up so you can see me work, because I'm going to give you what you need through.
That's absolutely so true. What you just said was so true. That is, I started seeing that. I started seeing that story unfold. I started seeing how God was really working and how he was kind of pushing me out of my comfort zone. And
yes.
Saying, I mean, people that know me now say, oh gosh, you don't need to be pushed out of your comfort zone, because I'm kind of a go-getter and advocate. But prior to that, I was very quiet and very shy, and I didn't do any of that. I was that kid that you talk to, and I'd get red. Like, don't talk to me.
But you've really become an advocate and a help to so many parents and families and children who really need someone to step in and encourage.
Okay, now I want to ask you a question. Going back to your story, is how did you know that you were achieving goals when she didn't speak with reading? Like, as you're teaching reading or even, adding, how did you know?
I shouldn't have said that she didn't speak. She did talk to me. Okay. So she whispered, she would whisper to me and talk to me. So I always tell parents, if you can do things visually with a special needs child, visually, I would have her draw pictures. I'd say, draw. The thing about her that really just astounded me was she just loved Shakespeare. And I thought, wow, that's so difficult. I'd tell people this and they'd go, she loves Shakespeare. This is unbelievable. So I always did things that kind of revolved around, what she really, loved, and tried to bring that out. And I love history. So I always incorporate a lot of history. I just, that was something. But you're absolutely right. I think having that foundation, always the very first thing we would do was read the Bible. It was just, that was, and then if I didn't do it, she'd call me out. Why are we not reading the Bible? I was like, okay, we got to get the Bible. But I think that's, and I know a lot of my parents will say, I don't have time to do that with my child. And then they'll say, but this is what church is for you guys to read the Bible with them. I said, it's just so important for you to kind of, I always give them little papers and I say, just read the little paper I gave you. So, seeking out help is can be difficult. But I wanted her to have every opportunity that other children had. I even had her in ballet. Funny story about ballet. She was on stage at, I think, about 5 years old, and they were all dancing and putting their arms all the way up in the air. And my husband said, why is her arms only down to her side? I said, so she was different then too. But I love that the teacher actually let her be part of it. She didn't say, hey, call her out. So I think the saddest part for me is the society, has they don't see, I wish they would see people for people, not their disability. I just wish you would see a person for who they are, and not the disability, not their disability. And I know that Johnny Erickson talks about that a lot. And I know that's hard, but it's really educating people also. I think that's really what I want to do. I want to educate people. I want people to understand it's okay to walk up to someone with a wheelchair and, say, hey, hi, how are you? And even if they don't speak, a lot of times they'll just give you a little fist pump,
Chris,
it brings so much brings so much joy to them. I mean, and
to be seen, to be acknowledged,
and everybody wants to be seen. We all want
absolutely
to be seen and acknowledged, but they just, most of the times when I've asked parents, what is the one thing about church? They just said, we just don't feel like this is where we're wanted. We just feel like we've kind of just been kind of discarded a little bit. We've kind of been pushed away. So honestly, when I started praying about the ministry, I, I started coming to Calvary in 2014. The Lord just was pushing me to come here. You know, you got to go. And I was at a small church, but and then I was at the homeschool, so that's sort of the reason too. And I came and I said, I remember saying, okay, where's your special needs for children? And they said, we don't really have one. And I said, what? And I said, what do you mean you don't have one? We have an adult one we've had for a long time and we've tried to have. And I didn't really know a lot of people at the church at the time. But I said, again, Lord, if you're willing, if you open the door and you go before me, I will step in. And I went to leadership, some leadership, and I said, you know, would you be willing to have to start a special needs ministry here for children? And they said, would you be willing to start this? Would you be willing to run with this? And I said, yes, I would be willing. And then they kind of asked me what I needed. And I said, well, I need a room. And they said, well, we don't really have a room. And I said, okay. So I'm going to pray about a room, but I don't want a room in the parking lot. I want a room right across from the sanctuary. And they said, oh, well, that's kind of impossible. Those rooms are being used, and that's a storage room. So another one of my volunteers, Linda, who's amazing, we prayed on this scripture about the Lord building the house.
Mm.
You know, and we know the scripture is as far as the Lord build it. You know, if the Lord builds a house, if he doesn't, you know, doesn't build it, the laborers are going to labor in vain. So I stood on that and I said, okay, you know, I really think this is the room. This is the room. This is going to be the ministry room. And I did that for a year. And then while I was doing that, I was also planning. I was going to churches looking to see what worked and what didn't work. You know, studying with Johnny Erickson Tata, and Johnny and Friends. Mm-hmm. And, so it's a wonderful story about this room. So they cleared the room out. They just said, we're going to clear it out. And then they had a meeting. The pastors had a meeting. I don't even know if Cheryl knows this. Pastors had a meeting, and they said, this is great. This is going to be a room for preschool. We can totally make, you know, we can pay, have people pay to come here for preschool. And Pastor Brian said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to have this be a ministry room. And I just thought, wow. When he said that, I just felt like that was just the moment for me. I thought that was just solidifying, you know. And I know that our church has a heart for special needs. I see it in the people. So that's kind of how it got started. It took me a year and a half to work all the details out. I wanted to make sure that the room was equipped, the children had what they needed, but then we didn't have the volunteers. And Cheryl can contest to this. Volunteers and children's ministry, for me, it's hard to understand that because I just love the children, but I understand why people maybe don't want to be with their children. I get it. So I prayed about volunteers. I said, Lord, you know, just please let them feel, just, I don't care if they don't have any experience, just please let them have a heart, you know, just a heart for this. And we have amazing people. I mean, the Lord's brought some really just great people. And there are people that, like, are teachers and grandma-type people and audiologists. And I have a person that was an ABA therapist. And I have a man that is just incredible. He just is so great with our boys. And so God's really, the ministry is really growing and it's unfolding. Just so any opportunity that I have, I just try to, you know, talk about it. I actually on Saturdays, I text all my parents and not only ask if they're coming, but I also ask if they need prayer. What do you need prayer for?
That's,
you know,
so good.
Please tell me what you would like me to pray for. You know, what would you like us to pray for?
That's so beautiful.
Because the parents need to know that they're also seen.
And supported,
know?
Yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
And supported and to know,
absolutely.
Which I absolutely, I mean, that's, you know, I love this woman, but that was one of the things that it was so comforting for me to see Jeannie in action, to see you in action ministering to this mom. And I was like, wow. I mean, because as we said before, it is these things that you've learned, but it's kind of electrified by the unction of the Spirit. It really is.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit, I mean, it's always, and that's, for me, it's like I don't do anything without, you know, really just going and speaking to the Holy Spirit and saying, is this something we should be doing? Because it's obviously it doesn't work. I've tried things and I'm like, okay, I'm doing this on my own. I know this is totally my flesh doing this. It's not me doing it. And I think just for me, honestly, what started me with this ministry is in my heart, I said, I want the parents to have a place to be able to, a sanctuary, to be able to sit in the sanctuary and be ministered to. While their children are in a loving and caring environment, they don't have to worry. And I don't think people that don't have special needs kids maybe don't understand what worry means. There's so many parents I've talked to that said, I'm worried about like leaving my child here because I don't know who has my, I mean, even yep. children that don't have special yep. needs, but especially children with special needs because we have children that have some severe needs. And I said, you know, that I said, God, I just want them to feel like when they leave their child, they can just sit there and have a cup of coffee. They can listen to the message and they don't have to worry. And so that was my main goal when I really started the ministry.
Right. And I had a friend with a special needs daughter, and her daughter was beautiful, but special needs. And she was worried about her naivety and that she might be taken advantage of. And that was a big issue. I mean, she wouldn't let her go to special needs classes outside the home unless she was there because she had heard stories. And so to know that they're safe, and I know her team, and boy, do they love to pray.
Mm. Yeah.
They love to pray. And that's another, you know, quality of this team. But
yeah, we have,
I get the worry.
Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are like, you know, intercessory prayer people. So
yep.
it's just, I just.
And former teachers, too.
Yeah, teachers. And just, I mean, they just, and they've been with me the whole way, which is, to me, is incredible. Because usually you have volunteers that leave. And we have a few new people that are just incredible also. But yeah, it's just, for me, it was really, I was very sad to see that parents would say, they'd call me and they'd say, I can't bring my child to, you know, to church. There's nowhere for me to go.
Well, and so often as a parent of a special needs child, people will say, oh, I want to help, but this isn't just a bring pizza over and watch my child with a movie on Friday night. There's a whole, maybe for some families, maybe a whole tutorial about how we need to arrange things or do things. And so the idea, I think, one thing that I'm relating to is thinking about dropping a child off with special needs is you just, sometimes there's that like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to explain, you know, and to have a team like your team that not only is equipped, aware, ready, willing. I mean, what a gift for families to say, not only do I feel safe leaving my children here, but I know that you guys have spent time getting prepared for my child. It removes such a burden and such a stress. Now I can actually go have some fellowship that maybe I wouldn't get through the week and get what I need at church, right? Church actually once again becomes a place where we can come together in fellowship rather than, you know, another place that I'm worried about my child, right? So that's
so
really beautiful.
And what you were saying too is, so what I do when the child first comes to the room, I actually take the parents aside and do an assessment. I actually ask the parents questions, you know, what are their triggers? You know, what are some of the needs they have? You know, I just want them to feel like they are loved. And then I also get calls from the regular children's ministry to come over and assess. I mean, they'll say, we
yep.
can't handle this
yep.
child. This child's,
yep.
this child is, you know, just, it can't be in this class. And a lot of times it's just a behavioral issue. But a lot of times I know immediately. I just have
yeah.
to look at the child. And I said, okay. I mean, we've had a little girl that was actually drinking hand sanitizer. And I said, well, okay, let me just, I don't want her in there. But, and she was taking her clothes off. And it's kind of, you know, it's a triggering thing. So I took her, we took her in. She had only been with us 2 Sundays. And one of my volunteers said, why is it that you tie a little rope around her, like the top of her dress? I said, well, and she can't lift her dress off. You know, and why is she, and I noticed that you don't have hand sanitizer anywhere near where she can reach. And so things like that. And I kind of train the people in the room, just little things like where we will have a child that will start kicking, you know, and that's sort of common. So you just, I told them how you just we have a weighted blanket, you just wrap it around their legs, and you always do everything in a gentle manner, obviously, never, you know. And we do have moments where there are kids that are very aggressive. I mean, I've been punched in the face and, you know, bit and, you know, but it's just part of, you know, this is part of the ministry. But yeah, it's not only a pleasure to be with the children, but just to get to know the parents. The parents have such amazing stories. And I mean, just to hug them on Sundays. And I know sometimes, like being a single, like we said, single parent, I have a dad that's so incredible. He has 4 boys and one of his boys, you know, boys has special needs, and he just needed someone just to talk to about, like, you know, how can I help him? And so that to me was that's like a really important factor. And I actually, one of the joys I've had this summer was I actually got to go sit in a symposium at Vanguard, mm-hmm. and speak about special needs.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.